Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Air quality is an issue which is grabbing media interest, both here in London and elsewhere. It's a nebulous, hard-to-grasp concept and leaves many of us disempowered. What simple actions can we do to improve the air we breathe? Catherine McGavin and Mariana Galán-Yamis are two postgraduate students studying social sculpture at Oxford Brookes University who've come up with an imaginative, entertaining and thought-provoking way to get us more engaged. It's an interactive walking tour of Oxford in 8 breaths, in which you travel in time and place, discover more about the air we breathe, as well as being a called personal action. I joined a group of 20 on the inaugural 8 breaths tour at the beginning of July 2017 and spoke to Kat and Mariana immediately afterwards, recording the interview on a busy street corner surrounded by passing tourists. Okay, so we're in Oxford, and I'm with the producers of 8 Breaths. Mm-hmm. So where did the idea come from? And explain to the listener what 8 Breaths is all about.
So I guess, well, firstly, both me and Mariana, we study social sculpture up at Oxford Brookes University. We were tasked with doing a collaboration. I knew immediately I wanted to work with Mariana, so I got in touch, and we went on just a walk, first of all, to explore what it is that inspired us, and we both found common interest in air pollution in the city.
But I think there's an interesting story there, because we were doing something that's called exploring the dead zones. So we were just describing images of places we thought that were dead, or that were numb, and that's when Kat came out with this image of her driving to work and blowing out her nose and finding this black thing coming out. So that's when we said, oh, air pollution is quite a huge thing in the world and we want to work with that.
Okay, and so you've called this tour 8 Breaths, but it's not just a tour, is it? It's more than that. You're actually trying to recruit people to lobby for better air quality?
Essentially, we're looking to raise awareness of the issue, to make people aware about the air around them, have that understanding, and ideally, if that then inspires people to take action, that is what we hope, because we do believe in the power of people to take those actions and to make a difference.
I've just experienced it, but imagine that you're talking to someone who hasn't yet tried it out. Can you give a description of what it might entail?
Yeah, so we describe it as a sensory journey through time and through a lot of different spaces. So there's different qualities that you can experience. For example, more quiet spaces or more busy spaces, you rely on the use of your breath, on your sight, on temperature, like many things that will help you get into facts that are already out there that have to do with air pollution. And yeah, it's
also your imagination as well plays a key part as well. Mm-hmm. In sort of taking you on the journey. So in a sense, they take themselves on that journey in a way, and we sort of guide it.
How have you chosen the route around Oxford?
So we mainly chose the spaces that could create some sort of contrast. Like you could experience quiet, calm and comfort, and some other places where you could experience a lot of discomfort, and you could also notice things around the city.
And also, as it's a tour of Oxford, one of the sort of themes that runs through it is picking out key points in Oxford history, some that you perhaps don't always see on the tour, but we kind of managed to get like little sights in like that.
Okay, and so over the summer, you're running this on a weekly basis for how many weeks?
6 weeks. So it's going to be every Sunday, starting at 11 a.m. from the 9th of July to the 20th of August.
Apart from recruiting people or making more people more aware, are you trying to develop your own learning from this or develop other people's learning?
Both. Yeah, definitely both, yeah. As we mentioned in the tour, we are all learning, and by that I mean me and Mariana, but everybody else as well, about this issue. We're still grappling with how do we solve this issue. And you know, if you look at this through the history of time, it's only in the relative recent history that people have really started to do something about it. So you know, and these things are gradual, and we're in kind of a period of transition. So I think the more people that can be involved in that process, the better.
Well, I must say, for me, I think it's great, because I think air quality is so nebulous, it's so difficult for people to grasp. The way you've done it, gets people thinking imaginative ways and reveals things which might have been perhaps hidden from them. Okay, so today we've just done it, and you had about 20 people, 22, I think. So was that what you'd hoped for? Was that double the number you hoped for? What were your aspirations at the time when you set out?
Double for me.
Yeah, I think we always, as long as there was one person, we knew we wanted to do the tour. So, yeah, having 22 is actually quite unexpected, but yes. I think it was great because it's still a manageable group of people to work with.
And you're also running a couple of walks next week with, you describe them, stakeholders. So would you like to describe what you're up to there?
There are specific people that we would really like to be part of the tour. Obviously, the tour is open for everybody, and we really want the public to be involved. There are key people in the city that we do think should be involved, and that includes city councillors, county councillors, but also we hope to have some academics, people from like local societies as well, like Oxford Pedestrian Association, and also people sort of with businesses around the city, hopefully some local cafe owners and things like that, just sort of to have an interesting mix, as well as the public as well.
Yeah, because it's also like a bit of a transdisciplinary issue, so all expertises are welcomed.
Yeah. You chose a walking tour, but Oxford, you could have done it by cycling. Do you think the walking is important?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. It's important. Yeah, I think in terms of the breath and the breathing, I think you can be very aware of your breath and your breathing when you're cycling, but I also think there's a lot of reflection in the tour, and I also really enjoy the fact that we saw this particularly more in this first one because there's so many people. It gives opportunity for discussion, which you don't necessarily get on a bicycle.
Exactly. I think walking is a very important socializing space that sometimes we don't acknowledge, but that was very important.
You're both doing a master's in something called social sculpture. Okay, tell me a little bit more about social sculpture and also why you chose to do that master's.
Well, I would describe it as, this is the long version, but I think it's like a crossroad of art, philosophy and sociology, something like that. And we actually don't do art objects. So we work more with the people's sense of agency. We believe that everyone has the ability like to shape their lives and their society. So you're not a passive thing that just receives orders or information, but you are quite active and you can take decisions and you can do things.
Why did you choose to do that course?
Well, I actually have a background in music, so also an arts background, but I've started working for charities for many years. I work in an environmental charity, but I've been very environmentally conscious for a long time before that anyway. But I did also struggle in the sense that just about everyone in my organisation is science-based. They do have a lot of background knowledge, which I have learned a lot from them, so I'm very, very grateful. But I also see it from another angle, particularly the way that we engage with people. I feel there are other ways to engage with people, not necessarily straight with hard facts and with science and data and things like that. And I sort of wanted to explore other opportunities to see how you could do that, particularly because I feel I'm one of those people. I think this would engage me more than some of the other sort of experiences that I've had. Not to discredit them, because everybody learns differently, but this is just opening up another avenue, I guess, and so that's why I wanted to try it.
And for yourself?
And I also think that, for example, there's a lot of perspectives coming from sociology or social sciences that speak of the world as something that's sort of external to you. So I think in this kind of focus, you are also part of the world and you are doing things, like with your normal actions. So I think that's also very important to take into account what you're thinking and what you're feeling.
Have you an arts or science background yourself?
It was mainly fine art and like critical theory, but I also found out that it was quite isolated from things that were happening in the world, and they didn't give you too much tools to think, so
this is more engaging, socially engaging.
On a personal note, you yourself have come from, you were brought up in Mexico City, which many people know was at one time one of the most polluted cities in the world. So would you like to sort of tell a little bit about your experience and what happened when you were living there?
Well, I was born and raised in a time when neoliberalism was rising in the city. So I remember when I was a child that there were a lot of air pollution alarms, so we weren't allowed to go out in recess, and we couldn't do a lot of activities outdoors. And also one of the most impressive images that I carry with myself is when I was a child, and we went to the countryside with my mother and my sister. My sister and I were looking at the sky for a very long time. My mother noticed this and she asked us, "Oh, girls, why are you looking at the sky? Or why have you looked at it for so long?" And that's when we said, "Mother, well, it's because we have just noticed that the sky is blue. We didn't know the sky was blue." And that's when my mother realized that we had never seen the blue sky before. We only saw it gray.
So you could only see the smog. You couldn't see the sky beyond.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's...
For many people who listen to this, that would be completely unusual. I mean, you know, we look up at the sky and we see it. And we don't really see smog at all in this country. So quite difficult to grasp that. So that certainly could have an effect on one. And for yourself, was that childhood memories or not?
In many ways, I've sort of experienced the contrast, in fact. So in the Peak District, it does have its air quality issues like everywhere else in the country, but largely speaking, you know, for me it was blue skies and taking in clean air, which was seemingly now a great privilege in contrast. But also then when I moved to the cities later for work, I noticed it, you know, and I was able to notice in a way that, interestingly, a conversation I was just having with someone who visited Beijing recently, people wearing masks and people didn't, it was the norm for them. And she was able to quite clearly see that this is not normal and not on the same level, but it's a similar experience for me when I go to cities. I'm like, this is not normal. This is horrible.
What's really interesting is that I think you've created something which gives people more to think about how they can make a personal change and also how they can influence others to make changes.
Because for a lot of people, well, some people, I'm not sure how many, but they are quite aware that air pollution is an issue. I mean, it's been in the news. People know it's a problem. And one thing that I'm quite keen to sort of impress upon, and hopefully we've done in the tour, is that we don't want people to feel sort of helpless and disempowered by saying the air's really bad, it's not good for you, and all you can do is walk on a street that's a bit cleaner. I don't think it sends a very positive message. And I also believe that people, you know, they do, like Mario was saying, they have the agency to actually make a choice and do something about it. Okay, they're not the people who make the decisions and really have that sort of impact, but they can raise their voices and they can make themselves be heard. And we've seen before in many examples in history when people have kicked up a fuss, for want of better words, change has happened. And that's sort of what we're starting to see happening in China. And I think we don't want it to get that bad, so let's do something about it now.
So I'm intrigued about how you came to put the tour together and the processes that you did. You've incorporated lots of really clever and profound ways of getting people to interact. So tell me a little bit more about the creative process for the tour.
In a lot of fields, art being one of them, I think that people is quite used to working isolated. And in this creation process, it was like very rich, at least for me, because working with another mind is sometimes very challenging. But this time we got to bond very well and we were like a single mind, just coming up with millions of ideas and things we were experiencing. And we also learned a lot in the process. So at least one thing that I would highlight is, well, of course, all the research we did, but also like the security and support we had with each other, like being brave enough at the end to stand in front of a group of 20 people and speak. So I think that's also, we also learned, and it's quite transforming for us as well.
And was that the first time that you'd actually led a tour?
We had done one, a shortened version, as part of our assessment, and we did like sort of practices, but just kind of with ourselves. It's the first time we had a group like that. So yeah, it can be a little daunting. One thing I would just add on to Mariana's point as well, in terms of the influences that are in the tour, you mentioned many different sorts of ways of approaching it. I trained as a yoga teacher for 2 years, where the breath is an essential element, and that really kind of, you know, I shared this with Mariana and it really got us to thinking about actually, yes, the air's being polluted, but we're also taking it in our lungs and just sort of exploring that sort of angle from a more meditative perspective.
I should ask, what next?
Well, Kat will start learning Spanish so we can go to Mexico City. but yeah, I guess in terms of the kind of outreach that you can have, that would also be interesting to see how all these conversations or encounters and what comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the feedback as well. Firstly, I guess one of the very first actions will be sort of looking at, you know, it's a work in progress. We can develop and we can refine and we can take people's feedback. You know, it's always kind of constantly moving. So that's one thing that we'd like to sort of have a look at and take on people's views, see how we can shape it. We also have, in terms of dates, actually towards the end of September, we have more dates set. And in terms of sort of taking it further, looking at further collaborations, we've already been approached by another organization. They're actually celebrating their 10th anniversary and they would be interested in having us do something like a sort of special tour for them. I mean, for me anyway, I'm very keen that it's not something that, you know, I'm very much a believer in continuous action. So
you don't want it just to end in September.
No.
You want to go beyond.
It's a longer term, and we would look. I mean, we would love to go out to other cities, go to other places, and sort of see what we can do.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Eight Breaths creators Catherine McGavin and Mariana Galán-Yamas. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stark of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.